Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3 together. Let's hear God's word. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals, and you will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband. He will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return." Let's ask for God's blessing. Lord, we pray in these moments together that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. In the four subject areas that we are considering during this series, we looked last week at creation copyrighted. We considered not just how special our created universe was, how integrally made it is, and how distinct and unique we are as human beings, but we considered the intention behind our creation. How that reflected, manifested the divine community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How it was perfect and bond, co-eternal, co-equal. That we were created to reflect that order, that system of relationships. Knowing that Adam could not and was not God, but Adam desired a relationship with God. God created Eve. Eve was co-equal to Adam, reflecting again the nature of the relationships that existed between Father, Son, and Spirit, now existed within human beings. And as a result of that, they were to have that mutual relationship together and with God. It was to reflect the sense of divine community. We were created for communities. And he placed us in a garden, and that garden was to be a place of paradise, a place of continued relationships with each other and with God. The first couple of chapters in Genesis are not simply a description of the fact that there is a created order. It does indeed point to the fact that there is intelligent design, that someone has a purpose for the creation as we see it, but not as we understand it. And there's an essential difference between the fact that when it is described that God regarded it as good, that's not how we see it today. That was the original design. The first few chapters in Genesis are there not only to point to a designer, not only to point to God, but as an explanation of the world that we have now inherited. Remember, they were writing back in their discovery, in the revelation that was being given to them. Not only was the Creator being revealed, but an explanation as to why we treat each other in the way that we do, why the planet seems broken, why when a bee stings us or a wasp stings us, we hurt. When we grab a thorn, we feel the pain. When earthquakes happen, all of these things need an explanation. And the first few chapters in Genesis are there to explain not only that God created us, but something happened to that creation that leaves us now with broken relationships, a distorted understanding of the existence of God or otherwise. And that explanation was given in that sin entered the world. And how sin entered that world and how it affects us has significant consequences to our relationship with each other and the relationship within our planet, to our planet, and indeed the existence of the universe in its entirety. In many senses, we inherit a sense of brokenness. If, for example, we were given a television set and we had no other television sets to compare it with, and we understood that when you turn on a button that you hear a noise, someone speaks to you, and you enjoy listening to everything that they have to say. It's wonderful. But you know better, because the person who is listening to that program thinks that everything is functioning normally, because that's what it's designed to do, because that's their experience of the sounds that they hear. But you know it's a television. And yet they're oblivious to the fact that what they are actually hearing is part of a broken object. But they're not conscious of its brokenness, because they have never had the experience nor the capacity up until that time to recognize that what they have been given and inherited is broken. If the maker or manufacturer was to come and to actually say, listen, I am sure you're having a pleasant experience listening to the voices, and wonderful though they may be, This was designed for something much more. And if the manufacturer is actually able to fix that object, for the first time you may actually see, as well as hear, what that object was created to give you, and the experience that you were to derive or receive from it. Your pleasure would be heightened. Now you not only see the programs that have been made, but you can hear the voices of those on the screen. I believe that sin creates that level of brokenness in our world. Some people appear to be content with the voices. They think that this is how the world was created to function, and yet they do not realize behind that there is much more that could be revealed to them. A greater picture exists, a more complete picture, a more holistic picture of what this world was created to give and what your relationships were created to receive. Your relationship with God and your relationship with each other. What impaired that was sin. And it was the desire on the part of Eve to listen to the discussion, conversation that she had with Satan. Let's go back to that discussion very briefly. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In the middle of the garden, verse 9 of chapter 2, "And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, good for the food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Seems strange, doesn't it, for God to put in a garden a tree of good and evil. The knowledge of that. Strange, isn't it? Why did he not just not put it there? I mean, that certainly would have saved us from all the trouble that we experience today if that tree had not have been available. God created us with the ability to serve him freely. And with that freedom came moral responsibility. And within that freedom came the ability to obey him or disobey him. Evil pre-existed the creation of Adam and Eve. In Satan himself lay the capacity to make choices, to either serve God or not to serve God. Remember, he was a created being with that capacity. There is no sense in which the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would ever misuse the freedoms that they possess, because they are God. But Satan himself made a wrong choice. His choice was to exert his freedom in such a way as that he wanted something that was forbidden to him, a position that he could not possess. As a result of that, pride, sinfulness, dominated his life. In choosing not to serve God, He was therefore cast out of heaven. The moment he let sin enter his life, he became its prisoner. Now we need to understand the implications of this. He now knew the existence not only of evil itself, but of evil's power. To live independently from God, to open himself up to the destructive nature of his choices, means that he, as a result of that, is incapable of dealing with the destructiveness of evil. It consumes him and it destroys him. And this is tragic. And the tree of good and evil, as it was placed in the garden, gave Adam and Eve a choice. You follow me, and you understand the blessings and benefits of goodness. You choose evil, you open yourself up to its destructive power. And that's the irony of our brokenness. We were created for the good, and we cannot handle the bad. We are consumed by wickedness, and we are incapable of harnessing it or controlling it. We were not created to deal with the knowledge of evil, for we neither have the moral powers or capacities independent from God to arrest our decline and our destruction, the distortions, the deceptions. That's why human brokenness carries so many unforeseen problems and difficulties that are unimaginable. That's why we can create atrocity upon atrocity, seek to justify our bigotry, our hatred, our sectarianism, our division, our divisiveness. That's why we can try to explain away our hedonism, give context to our pleasures, give rational explanation to our sexual deviations. We can create an atmosphere of compliance with each other, independent from God, that leads to further disruption and destruction of the human race. The sad thing is that according to Romans chapter 1, we can suppress that knowledge, we can exchange the truth for a lie, and we return to a broken television set that hears sounds but sees no pictures. Suddenly and incomprehensibly, we now cannot see the full picture. We may choose not to. We may suppress it. We may already have exchanged it for a lie and incapable of suppressing it because we can no longer decipher the brokenness of it. There are all sorts of levels of our incapacity in the human race. And that's why we have what we have and inherit what we inherit. And the consequences in this broken planet are severe for each one of us. Tonight we're going to try to answer some of the questions that people have asked about this broken world that we live in. We may not have all the answers, but we may be pushing towards some understanding of our own brokenness and its implications for each one of us. Now, this is part of a series, because we started with the good God of creation, who created everything good, and now we've inherited a system that is broken. Surely there must be not only a sense in which it's under guarantee, because God has, as a manufacturer, allowed us to consider how it can be repaired. We're going to begin the journey of repair next week. Look at the great plan that God had to overcome this level of brokenness. But in order to understand the beauty of what is on offer, we need to understand the level of our own brokenness. Then we may understand the significance of the manufacturer's repair of what was broken. And then in our final week, we'll look at eschatology, and we'll look at the future that God has in store at the end of the journey and what it means for each one of us. It's a wonderful story that this is only part of. And this is a part that is painful. It's a part that has very severe implications for each one of us, because we all live in this broken world and we all have experienced that level of brokenness. But when we begin to unpack it, we see that whilst it is broken, it can be repaired. And God in His grace may enable us to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in these moments, as we conclude our worship, that You would open us up to understand more about the one that we've been called to worship. In Jesus' precious name we pray.